الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقال الرسول يا رب إن قومي اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا وكذلك جعلنا لكل نبي عدوا من المجرمين وكفى بربك هاديا ونصيرا صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable ulama, brothers and elders in Islam, when a very important, a very great event is about to take place, then in accordance to the shan of that event, in accordance to the greatness of that event, signs take place in the world indicating to the event. The greatest event that took place in this dunya was the coming of Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam to this world. So Allah Rabbul Izzat made some time before the event could transpire. There were a lot of indications and signals that took place in planet Earth, all indicating, signaling the coming of the greatest of mankind, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in this world. About 51 days before the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abraha came with his army of elephants with a sinister intention of destroying the Kaaba Sharif. And Allah Rabbul Izzat destroyed Abraha and his army. This was all indicating towards the imminent arrival of Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the divine aid and help and support of Allah with this Nabi. Then on the night when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born, Usman bin Abi al-As says that my mother was present in the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam at the time when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's respected beloved mother Amina delivered him. So his mother Fatima binti Abdullah says the whole house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was filled with nur, filled with light. The whole home became illuminated. Not only the home, but even the stars in the sky, she could see that was coming down, as though they were coming close to the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, coming close to the earth. There was such nur that enveloped the earth at that time, that from the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she says, I seen a light that had shone, and that light moved towards Sham, towards Syria, that the palaces of Syria also and the buildings of Syria could be seen. And she says, this was the miraculous birth, that the Nabi of Allah came in this world at the time of Tahajjud. And he came in the position, in the posture of Sajda, and his Mubarak finger was raised of Tawheed to the skies. It was on that night that there was a certain Jew that was present in Makkah Mukarrama. For trade and business purposes, he came to Makkah Mukarrama. But reading in the past scriptures, he had knowledge that the Nabi Akhir al-Zaman is going to be born, and he'll be born in Makkah Mukarrama. So this certain Jew, he asked the people of Makkah Mukarrama, tell me, is any child born from the Quraysh on this night? So the people said that we don't know. He said, make inquiries. For this night, it has been written that the final messenger and prophet of Allah to be sent to this world, he's going to be born on this night. And after investigations took place, inquiries were made, it was discovered that it was that night in the home of Hazrat Amina, the grandchild of Abdul Muttalib, the son of Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's father, Abdullah, was born. And so this person says, take me to the home, I wish to see. I wish to see this child. So it has been recorded in the scriptures that he will have the muhr nubuwwat. He will have the seal of prophethood between his shoulder blades, between his shoulders. I want to see this for myself. And there where he had seen this child, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he witnessed the seal of prophethood on the back of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he had fallen unconscious there and there. When he regained consciousness, he mentioned that, oh, children of Israel, Nubuwwat has moved from you to Bani Israel, to Bani Ismail, to the children of Ismail alayhi salam. That now the doors of Nubuwwat and prophethood have been sealed entirely, completely, forever, from Bani Ishaq, from the children of Ishaq alayhi salam, till the child of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, the progeny of Ismail alayhi salam, indicating to Nabi alayhi salatu salam, coming from Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. So there was special indications that took place in the world at that time. On that very, very night, the superpower of the time that was Khosrow's, Kisra, the Persian Empire, the Persian Emperor, his name was Kisra. In English they call it Khosrow. Allah Rabbul Izzat made that it was a tremor that took place around that land. 14 pillars came crumbling down. Lake Sawa dried up that very night. The fire temple of the fire worshippers, the fire that they kept burning for 1,000 years on that night got extinguished. Allah Rabbul Izzat showed so many different signs. So when the king Kisra awoke in the morning and he had learned of what had happened, that his kingdom, his palace, 14 pillars just came down with the tremor, Lake Sawa dried up, and here the fire of the fire temple that burned for over 1,000 years, they kept it alight, fanning that fire in that night. Allah Rabbul Izzat caused this also to be extinguished, indicating that all the forces of batils will be wiped out the face of this earth with the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the coming of the deen of Islam. So the king woke up perplexed. He was worried. He was afraid. He was a superpower of the time, but he was insan after all, concerned about his seat, his kingdom, his power, his rule. So he, to hide his embarrassment, to hide his perplexity and concern and worry, agony and fear, he calls up all his courtiers. He says that I wish to have a meeting. But then he says that this is what has transpired in one night. So many different things happened. What this all indicates towards? Does any person have the answers to these questions of mine? While he was now speaking to his subjects, his ministers, his courtiers, so one of the priests, Zoroastrian priest, fire worshipper priest, he woke up and he says, last night I had seen a dream. A very, very strange, a very unique type of dream I had seen. So the king says, explain what you had seen. He says, I saw there were powerful camels coming from Arabia. And those camels were dragging the horses. They dragged them right till the Dijla, the Tigris River, huge river. And it overpowered the horses. And thereafter, it spread around the entire world, from the Dijla, whole world started spreading. So the king asked him that, what is the meaning of this dream? So it is, he says, it seems like a very, very major event is going to take place coming from Arabia. What it exactly refers to, I don't know, but something major is going to happen from Arabia. So the king, he calls one of his main men, one of his courtiers, Nu'man bin Munzir. He says that, go and find an alim who is present in this time, who will have the knowledge of the secrets of what has transpired, and he can open it up, unravel it before me. So Nu'man bin Munzir, the courtier of the king, he quickly goes and he calls one person who was very, very knowledgeable at that time. He traveled the world, the great alim, Abdul Masih al-Ghassani. He brings him before the king. And then he says to the king that, oh king, this man is very, very well versed in the scriptures. He's a great alim, the past scriptures also. Anything you wish to question and inquire and ask him, you can ask him. There is it before you. So the king says that, tell me, that 14 pillars in one night had fallen to a small tremor. Lake Sawa dried up. The fire of the fire temple burning for 1,000 years got extinguished. And now the dream that was seen by this priest of the camels, Arabian camels taking the horses, dragging them to the Dijla River and around the world. What does all this mean? So Abdul Masih Ghassani says, oh king, I don't have the knowledge of this. But there's some person who is more knowledgeable than me. He lives in Sham, he's my uncle, his name is Satih. He's very, very old. I know definitely he would have the answers to these questions. He says, quickly rush to him on your camel, on your horse, go on your horse and rush and go. Go and bring the answers to me. So immediately he goes on his horse and he travels till he comes to Sham. As he enters the home of Satih's uncle, Satih is on his deathbed about to pass away, about to breathe his last, but he was still in his senses. And then his nephew, Abdul Masih, was also a great alim. And Sati also is an alim of a high caliber, knowledgeable in the past scriptures and kitabs. And there, he enters, Abdul Masih Ghassani enters before his uncle and he greets him. And after he greets him, he sings some couplets. And then Sati opens his eyes and he says, Abdul Masih al-Ghassani has come from the king of Khosrow. He has come all the way from Persia. He has come from the king Faris, the king of Faris, Kisra. And he has come to ask me the questions of why the fire that burned for 1,000 years was extinguished in one night. Why Lake Sawa just dried up. Why the 14 pillars of his palace had just come tumbling down. And about the dream that was seen of the camels dragging the horses. So before him even informing his uncle of all these events, what he came to ask him, his uncle informed him beforehand. Perhaps his uncle was a pious person who followed the religion of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, is about to leave this world. He was a believer about to pass away. And he says, you have come to ask me. He says, yes, I came with this. He says, tell the king, the time has come soon. The time has come very, very soon for the final prophet of Allah to come in the world. When this final prophet, the greatest of all humanity, Nabi Akhiri Zaman, the leader of all the Anbiya and Rasuls of the past will come in this world, he will be holding an asaf. Allah will cause his religion to spread to the four corners of the globe. Wherever he will go, his people, his sahaba will go, they will conquer the land after land. Even the land between, the land beneath which Kisra, the Persian Empire, he rules, the superpower of the time, his kingdom will come to an end very, very soon. It'll be just few pebbles will pass, his kingdom will come to an end. So he asked, how much of time we got left? He says, like 14 sutun, you know. There are 14 pillars that Allah Pak caused of his kingdom, of his palace to come crumbling down. He's just got about 14 rulers. Just 14 rulers will pass. And that will be the end of his empire in the world. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's deen, his people begin to rule the world. And then he says, listen, O Abdul Masih, all this is the sign from Allah. The 14 pillars went. Lake Sawa dried up. The fire that burned for 1,000 years came to an end. The dreams were seen. He says, remember when this final Nabi is going to come. And he will bring the Quran down. And the Quran will be revealed on this Nabi. And the Quran will be recited everywhere in the world. You will hear the kalam of Allah throughout the world being recited. Remember that now it will only be Islam that will be accepted in the world. Every other kingdom won't be able to stand before this kingdom. No other superpower will be able to stand before it. It will only be Islam. It will only be the Quran. He's saying these words just not long after that. And this alim, he passed away, Sati passed away. He rushes and he comes. He says, the king, that this is what my uncle mentioned. He says, well, 14 pillars indicating 14 rulers, it will take a long time. But Allah Rabbul Izzat made it that in 4 years, 10 rulers, 10 kings had passed away. And the time of Hazrat Usman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the superpower of the time of the Persian Empire had come to an end. Allahu Akbar. So this person, he told that it was written in the scriptures of the past, in the Torah, the Injil, that this Nabi Akhiri Zaman is going to come. And he's going to come with the Kalam of Allah, the Quran Majid. And his Sahaba and his Ummah will be reciting this Quran. And you hear the echo of Allah's Kalam throughout the world. The Noor of Islam will spread to the four corners of the globe. Allah granted us the greatest favor, the greatest gift, the Quran Majid. Allahu Akbar. Brothers, this Quran, the greatest ni'mat, the greatest favor, the greatest gift that Allah revealed from the heavens to the earth, from the time of Adam alayhi salam to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam, till the last ummati of the Nabi of Allah will come, the greatest favor of Allah is the Quran Majid that we have before us. This Quran Majid is so blessed that if you put all the things of this world, you put all the human species, you put all the Anbiya, the Rasul, everybody together, the Quran is the Kalam of Allah. Allah spoke Quran. Quran is greater than everything. Quran is, how honored is this ummah that Allah Ta'ala granted. There's no ummah of the past that had this favor. That there's millions of hufaz, small children every day completing the Quran Majid, reciting from the beginning till the end. This is a sign of the haqqaniyat of Islam, the truth of Islam. And it's mentioned, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that home where Quran is recited, there's noor and barakah descends on that home, The shayateen rush and they move away from that home. The angels throng to that home. The angels in the sky, they look for the noor of Quran from the sky. And that person who recites Quran in his home, that home, whole home is full with noor, like a canopy of noor. The angels from the skies gain direction to the earth, looking for where those homes the Quran is recited. And they come there. Then barakah envelops that home. The inmates of that home remain in happiness. Why? That home doesn't have any sinful activities. There's no TV, there's no haram things viewed, internet. There's no pictures of animate objects. There's no haram. And they are leading their lives, reciting Quran, loving Quran, living by the Quran. And they are true Muslims. Like how Muslims about to live in the world, how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted his ummah to live. That home, that special home. Every day the angels, they call each other. There's a dawat. Like there's a dawat. Let's go to this home. Like how it's mentioned in the hadith. Like how a traveler during the desert, at nightfall, now he's in the middle of the desert, he's looking for direction. Like a person who's traveling on a ship sailing to the sea, and in the dead of the night, there's nothing for him now to find direction. He looks for the stars in the sky. The angels in the sky look for those homes where Quran is recited. They get direction, they come to those homes. And throughout the life of that servant of Allah, they stay with him also. They protect him. Until the time comes where he's about to pass away, they also protect him. Hadith mentioned that the night loves this person, the day loves this person. When he passes away, the day cries, the night cries. And he used to recite Quran Majid. He used to recite Allah's book. When the night comes, the night waits for him. Then one night informs another night that tonight was my night with him. Tomorrow when he's going to recite at the time of Tahajjud, you must treat him well. Allow his stay to be pleasant with you. And then when he begins to recite, Allah Pak sends an angel. That angel also gets close to him. And when he's reciting, he makes miswak, he's reciting in the time of Tahajjud, Allah grant me and all of us this tawfiq. The angel brings his mouth close to the mouth of this person, so that the recitation that he's reciting, the noor and barakah, goes in the mouth of the angel, is stored. The angel then takes it up. It's stored in the banks of akhirat. Allahu Akbar. Then when this person, he passes his life, is about to pass away, then the angels come there to alpart from the body. They're with him. They're supporting him. They don't worry. We would throughout your life, you recited Quran. We were with you. Now you're leaving this world, we'll be with you. When he passes away, his day is in the coffin. Quran takes a form, like a beautiful person. And then it comes and it stands at his headside. It protects him. It comforts him. And then he goes in the coffin, it sits on his chest. When he's laid in the qabr, and the angels Munkar Nakir come to question him. They come to question him, and all the people leave the qabristan, they have to go home, everybody goes away. And at that time, Munkar Nakir, the angels to question him, will tell him, tell this form, this person who's with him, this Quran, that move away, we came to question him. The Quran will say, you may question him whatever you wish to question. Whatever work you are sent for by Allah, you may fulfill that work. We're not moving away from this man. Throughout his life, he honored us. Today we will protect him, we will be with him all the while. And the angels complete the imtihan. He passes the test also, flying colors. He goes, the angel stays with him. Nabi alayhi salam mentioned in the hadith, on the day of Qiyamah, this person will wake up from the qabr, coming to the plains of Hashr to give reckoning. This Quran will come out like a beautiful form, like a beautiful man, escorting him, protecting him, and securing him, comforting him. Don't worry, I'm with you. Until he passes all the phases of akhirat. And now the time comes, the Quran will enter him into Jannat. Allahu Akbar, this is Quran. But respected friends, this is for that person who loves the Quran, he lives the Quran, he honors the Quran, and then he leaves this world in that state. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, Al-Quran hujjatul laka o alayk. Quran will either be a proof in your favor by Allah to help you, or will be a proof against you. Then the Quran will come before Allah. Oh Allah, you granted this man Quran. He didn't honor me. He didn't recite me. He didn't love me. He didn't practice upon me. Wallah, this man disrespected me. Wallah, send him to the fire of Jahannam. This man will be sent to the fire of Jahannam. Another person, Allah, will come before Allah. The Quran will be saying, oh Allah, this man, you granted him my gift. He honored me. He recited me in the day. He recited me in the night. He practiced upon me. He lived his life accordingly. Oh Allah, you honor him also. Allah Pak will send him to Jannah. In one hadith of Anas radiallahu ta'ala, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, man ta'allama al-Quran. That the person will learn the Quran Majid. And after he became Hafiz, وَعَلَّقَ مُصْحَفَ, we take the Quran and put it on the shelf there. One Ramzan will pass, the next Ramzan comes, then he takes the Quran, then he wants to read it. Whole year he won't recite Quran, he got more time to look at the news, to look at the cell phone, to look at the internet, to look at what's happening, current affairs, he wants to know. But Quran that Allah granted, the greatest gift, that won't be in his life. So Nabi alayhi salam said, لَمْ يَتَعَادْهُ وَلَمْ يَنْزُرْفِ. He never look in Quran, he never recite Quran, he never honor, he never protect the Quran. جَاءَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Quran will come on the day of Qiyamah, مُتَعَلِّقًا بِهِ. It will be hanging on his neck. Quran will say, يَا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينُ وَاللَّهُ إِنَّ عَبْدَكَ هَذًا اتَّخَذَنِي مَهْجُورًا. That this servant of yours, he abandoned me. فَقْدِ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِي. You decide today between me and between him. Allah will dispatch this person to the fire of Jahannam. In the ayat that I have recited in the khutbah, Nabi alayhi salatu, Allah Pak speaks about the complaint of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah is speaking in Quran about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam complaining to Allah about this ummah. Allah says, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّي إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. Nabi alayhi salam will say, oh Allah, my ummah were granted this greatest favor and ni'mat of Quran, they abandoned the Quran. Wallah, they abandoned the Quran. Allahu Akbar, the Nabi is complaining. Mufassirin say that either the Nabi of Allah complained in this world about certain people, perhaps the Munafiqi, not his Sahaba, who had the Quran but abandoned it. Or Nabi alayhi salam will complain before Allah on the day of Qiyamah. Or he could perhaps complain on both times. It shouldn't happen that on the day of Qiyamah we come before Allah, we had Quran, we had the greatest favor. The greatest favor we had, but we forsook the Quran, we have forsaken the Quran. Because we had now forsaken the Quran, we had every other thing in our life that made us more concerned and worried. We were worried about making money, worried for holidays, worried about our business that we ran it on the kuffar systems against Quran. On the day of Qiyamah, Nabi Sallam is complaining, the Quran is in a complaint, and there the fire of Jahannam awaits. It shouldn't be like that. I'll just give one small incident. Mentioned that there was a certain alim, he went to the airport, and he was with certain family members there. So the family members, parda people, all the time, you know, the women folk also don the parda. They supposed to be people who adhere to the law of hijab and parda. Whenever there's any functions, gatherings, then they don't go to those gatherings that there is a mixed gathering, where there's segregation, they go there. Where there's integration, people mix, they don't go to those people. So they're very, very particular. Now they went to the airport, So they went there with this, people in the restaurant. There's a big TV there. There's the music also. Men, women, everybody seated there. Muslims, non-Muslims. So these people, they went and sat down. Women with parda, they picked up their parda, they enjoying themselves. So this alim, he told, he said, but you are people supposed to be people of Allah. You're supposed to be people of Quran. That your lives, your claim to be following Quran, hadith, following Shariat of Islam, you'll tell people we don't go to this function, but you people, see how you're sitting over here. This is not on. Your people's house is nearby. House is not like far away, like, you know, in another country, there's no food or something. And you people are just, this is against the Quran. You see, this is against the Quran. And he told them, but they never listened. So he moved away. Made dua, he felt sad, he went away. That night he sees in a dream, all those people, they threw the Quran. He's picking up the Quran. So that same Quran that told that women and men mustn't intermingle. The same Quran that told that now, you know, you must do this. These people, they broke the command. So they didn't physically outwardly throw Quran. But when they disrespected the Quran, they flouted the commands of Allah in the Quran, so as though they threw it. So he's seeing, he's picking up, he's showing respect. How important it is. So we need to say, do we love Allah? Do we love Quran? If we say we love Quran, we should be reciting Quran every day. That Quran must be our life. And then we should uphold the injunctions of Quran in our life. Quran is saying, don't gamble. The Quran is saying, don't drink wine, don't make zina. The Quran says all these things. We should see in our businesses, do we have insurance? Elements of gambling and insurance. Interest. Quran saying interest is haram. Are we dealing with the bank on interest? The clothing is right, the clothing is not right. All this, a person's life, if it's against Islam, is against Quran. On the day of Qiyamah, this Quran shouldn't come before and say, you claim to love me, you're the traitor. You love the kuffar systems more. That's why, you know, you had pictures there in your home, you had pictures there in your practice, you had pictures, you don't want to take the pictures out. But Allah is saying in Quran that this is haram. No, I don't like it. It's alright, you know. Allah Pak give me an offer tawfiq to uphold the Quran, to love the Quran, to recite the Quran. And Allah Pak don't make it such a day of Qiyamah, this Quran becomes an evidence against us to take us to the fire of Jannah. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.